Get your Bibles now, and we're going through the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, we want to say thank you for your great work on the cross for us and for the sake of your own name. We want to say thank you for the free gift of salvation. We did nothing to deserve it or to have it, possess it. The work of salvation is yours and yours alone from A to Z. We just benefit from it. And we have to say thank you. And we'll say thank you until eternity future. So receive all your glory, King of Kings. Let your rule come into this church and in our particular lives. Come now and lift Jesus Christ, your Son, in our midst through this message. Use us, me and my brother, interpreting to share your word to us. We badly need it. Use it, O Lord, to encourage us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to edify us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning we are talking about despising the means of salvation. As we continue looking at what happened after Paul's sermon. Again, to remind ourselves of what we talked about last Sunday, is that Paul and his friend Barnabas traveled from Cyprus to Antioch of Pisidia. And in Perga, their helper or assistant, John Mark, left them. Yeah, then in Perga they did nothing. And they proceeded to Antioch of the region called Pisidia. And there they visited a synagogue where they were given chance to speak the word of God. And there, Brother Paul preached. I began by narrating their story as Jews, which made the congregants happy until the point when he wanted to apply the historical things. And he started talking about Jesus Christ. He talked about the forgiveness of sins and justification to God the Father through this man, telling them that this man Jesus is the Messiah that was promised to them. And then in verse 38, he ended by appealing to them, 38 and 39, and said, Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He ended with a warning, asking them to beware lest they become like those who are despise the word of God. So today we are looking at the outcome from verses 42 up to the end of the chapter 52. Let's first read our text. Acts chapter 13, from verse 42 up to 52. Says, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they took off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. Yeah, so now Paul has preached. He has expounded the word very well. And just remember, last Sunday we appealed to the preachers of the word to copy a few things from this powerful sermon. Don't go to a sinner, to a pagan, to a Muslim, and you start banging their faith and religion. Say, come to Jesus, because you are part of a false religion. There you are already blocking the door of the gospel. Try to look for a point of common denominator, as we call it. Yes, and then try to see how you'll come from that point of commonness to the gospel of Christ. Always, before you go into the good news, begin with the bad news. As Pastor David has been teaching us this morning, you normally jump into the good news. The person believes they are good. Begin by showing them that they are stinking with sin. Only after knowing that you have a problem, you'll see the need of a physician. Here I know 100% that I am cancer free. Therefore, I don't need the Cancer Institute of Mulago Hospital. The drugs about cancer, the doctors about cancer, I don't need them. But if I went somewhere and they carried out tests, then they tell me, no, mister, I'm sorry, you are cancer positive. Immediately I'll start asking, guys, where is the Cancer Institute at Mulago Hospital? Yeah, so always begin with the bad news. Show them how dead they are, how perishing they are. Then so when you come to the good news now of how to escape from that problem, they will appreciate it. So verse 42 says, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. The Jews, all the Jews, went out. Not that the service had ended, no. No, the service ended in verse 43. It was in the middle of the sermon when Paul started speaking about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. They said, no, we cannot endure this in our own synagogue. They stood up and went out. Gentiles remained inside. Because this was not any problem to the Gentiles. But to the Jews, it was like an insult. How dare you tell us that this malefactor, son of a carpenter, we know that he is our Messiah. They went out. Yeah, obviously, I don't blame people who go out like this. Yeah, because I remember in Nalumonye also, I invited a friend of mine from Entebbe. You remember? Did he wait for the end of the service? No. And yet he was coming so that after the service, we could discuss something that he wanted to discuss with me. I saw him stand up and just disappear, never to come back. Afterward, I called him and said, what's wrong? What happened? And no, I could not be there up to the end. So he saw himself in a cult. Even you, some of you and me personally, when you go to these churches that are men in our country here, I don't think you can sit on that chair to the end. I don't think so. Yeah, because they do things that blaspheme the name of God. Yeah, so these Jews also, remember, they are religious people. Yeah, some of them are rulers of that very synagogue. And they believe that they were the only people of God on earth. They alone knew the truth. So they say, no, we cannot be here to the end of this. They went out to do what? To discuss what they should do. But the Gentiles who remained inside the synagogue begged these brothers that they should bring back this word to them. 43, now when the congregation had broken up, now it is ending, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue the grace of God. Yeah, so we can see the proselytes are also Greek, or so I mean Gentiles. No, Gentiles, yes, who had converted to Judaism. So these are the two groups that followed Paul and Barnabas. Typical Gentiles who are not proselytes, but also Gentiles who had converted to this religion of Judaism. They liked the word, and they wanted it to be taught to them. We'll come to that later. 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. I don't know where they preach to. From the synagogue, it's not very clear here. Because already you've seen that the rulers or the overseers of the synagogue were no longer happy with them, with their message. But I don't know. But the Bible is simply telling us that the next Saturday, Sabbath day, many people came. It very clearly understood that these Gentiles and proselytes spread the news. And many people came. Obviously, many out of curiosity. Yeah, whether you are coming out of curiosity or not, just come. The net will catch you from there. Said almost the whole city. This is an exaggeration to just show us that many people attended. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Yeah, so they were contradicting. To contradict simply means to deny or question the truth of the statements of someone. So the Jews were busy watering down the truth that Paul had and was still preaching. No, don't believe that. Those are stories. We understand these things better than him. We are still waiting upon our Messiah. So they were denying the forgiveness of sin and justification before God. That this cannot be obtained through Jesus of Nazareth. They denied the truth that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. You can't imagine. These contradicting and denying the truth are not pagans. These are religious people. Leaders in the synagogue. And they were filled with envy when they saw the multitudes. They were filled with envy. Over what? Either envy of the Gentiles, the fact that these dogs are now also the partakers of what the Jews believed was theirs alone. They could not believe what they were seeing that day. This great God of love, they knew that he was theirs alone. But Paul is equating the Jews and the Gentiles, putting them on the same scale. That could easily bring up jealousy or envy. But also they might be envious over Paul and Barnabas. The fact that they are gathering the numbers, the multitudes that they have never gathered before. Verse 46. Then, after contradicting and denying what they were teaching, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, and this way I fear the following words, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. We turn to the Gentiles. From Christ's words in Matthew 21:43. Let me just read them quickly what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 21 verse 43. Our Lord said, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. If you don't want to bear the fruit of the gospel, It will be given to those who are bearing the fruit of it. Verse 47. Paul and Barnabas continue saying, "For so the Lord has commanded us." And here he quotes Isaiah 49. "I say, I've set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Quoting Isaiah 49 verse 6, but let me explain briefly about this Isaiah 49. Those who are God's word to Israel, although here Paul is quoting them unto themselves, Israel was prepared to do this work. God had prepared Israel to do this work of being light to the nations, so that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. But Israel as a nation failed to the assignment, and instead became a disobedient servant. This prophecy was to be, was to find its particular fulfillment in one who is the representative of Israel. Yet distinguished from the nation. In the New Testament, this obedient servant is identified with Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, so the first servant was Israel as the nation. God wanted to use them to spread his salvation to all the nations. They failed. So God called this one servant. However, although the faithful servant, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, accomplished the saving work single-handedly, his mission was henceforth shared with his followers. As they spread the gospel light in his name throughout the nations. The mission of that obedient servant, you and me are sharing it when we spread the light of the gospel to all the nations. Verse 50. "But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they took off the dust from their feet against them, and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." You know, the multitudes were enjoying the teachings. They tried to get the multitudes away from these two men, but failed. They did it by trying to preach a false gospel to the people, watering down what was being preached. But after failing, that's when they went to the plan B, as you call it in Uganda. So no, let's go and stir the big men in the city. In other words, the leaders of the city. But how do you manage to reach those people? It's not easy to reach men. Yeah, so they decided to go through women. So the devout and prominent women. Yeah, these women were both devout and prominent. Women of influence and connected with families of ranks. Maybe they were Jewish women who had been married by magistrates of the city. Or they might have been proselyte Gentile women who had connection with big people in the city. Yeah, maybe through marriage, maybe some were wives of prominent people, magistrates of the city. And here they succeeded. Because, you know, these politicians in the city were not interested in the religious affairs. Yeah, but they went and told them what they told them. And they also came into the scene. They started stirring or preparing persecution for our two brothers. And then they expelled them from their region. Not only city, but region. And the brothers had to do again what the Lord commanded us. In Matthew 10:14, shake the dust from your feet and go elsewhere. Yeah, a few things to go home with. Number one, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Because of the sweetness of these words, time was not enough for these Gentiles. They were still enjoying the message about Jesus Christ. And this is what we always talk about here. These guys had been regenerated. The Holy Spirit comes first into a sinner's heart, breaks your stony heart for you to enjoy the things of Christ. These guys now do, the Gentiles, the pagans, did not want the apostles to stop. The words were sweet like honey to them. As one psalmist sang and said, your words are sweet to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I'll never forget your precepts, for by them, through them, you've given me life. My question to you this morning is, do you enjoy God's word, or it's boredom to you? Do you yearn for the words of God, the good news, or they are boring to you? Do you think that sermons at RBC take too long? Some of us think that they took too little time. Some of us stop talking about these things of Christ simply because of time. We stop unwillingly. Not that people will get saved only when sermons are long, no. Far from that. But we simply enjoy talking about Christ. Any true, genuine believer enjoys listening about Christ. about how he left his splendors in glory and came down to save us. About how he endured unimaginable shame and pain because of love for you. Talking about these things. And in the hymns that we sang or we sing, there's this one that says, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. This name of Jesus Christ, the sweetest name ever, is what Paul and Barnabas were spreading all over. Friends, as I am preparing these sermons, I get my atlas and check on the maps. I can't believe the distances that our brothers were really traveling to spread this, the light, to other people. When there were no modern ships, nothing like a plane. Brother could enter a ship then, just from one end to the other end, he could spend 3 months in water. We are just at the beginning of his missionary journeys. You'll see how Paul suffered a lot, seriously. Because he wanted others to hear about this beautiful name. He should stop now. I remember those years when we used to go to church. Not because of the sermons, but because of choirs. Yes, I was leading one of the choirs. And we were just very busy entertaining others. Not only that, but also competing with other choirs. I could even tell my choir members, no, this song will not do well. Remember Samaria choir? That one choir was called Samaria. Powerful. So friends, if you don't see choirs in RBC, if we said no to them, because friends, not because some reformed brothers came and told me, don't. No, I live that life. I understand these things well. Ours was called what? I can't remember. New Life Center Choir. When you sing some good song, you hear the congregation clap. Outside after service, you sang better than all the choirs. So the choir leader started looking for more better songs. Where is Christ in that? Competition and entertainment. Yeah, some people ask us, why don't you have choirs in your churches? No. We don't need them. We sing together. And I was in choirs, I don't know for how many years. 20 years? 25? So friends, point number two. Paul and Barnabas persuaded or convinced those who followed them to continue in the grace of God. Just as we plead with you every day here, not to joke with these things, friends. Never joke about these things of God, please. We just humbly beg you. My friend Joshua, I talked about him here again some time back, if you can remember. He died, he passed on. We sang in the same choir. I was composing choir songs, he was also composing. But when he joined Crest, the Bible College at Makerere, he came and told me, Brother Bill, we went through a course. It has opened my mind. The things we've been following over years are for Westerners. Christianity is the religion from the West, from the whites. They found us with our own traditional religions. Our lecturer explained these things well to us. And I concluded that really I need to go back to our roots. I need to look for my ancestors. I told him, Joshua, what's wrong with you? So I rebuked him, I tried to help him. That's when he decided to take a distance from me. And they went to Lira. Could not call me for years. Until when they started getting trouble, he went into his other ways, traditional African traditional religion. He abandoned this gospel we are preaching now. You know what happened? I don't know what they touched. But after many years of total split between my family and his, I received a call when I was in Tanzania. His wife called me. But when I got back, we called them and we talked. Because we were surprised, a call from Joshua's family. She wanted to tell us something, but she feared. But she entrusted us with their children. Then later, we followed on news here on TV that there's a lady in Lira town who bought petrol, poured on herself and put herself ablaze and died. She was the one, Mrs. Joshua. And the neighbor said that before she did that, a day before, she told this friend of hers that things come in the night for years now disturbing her. She has no peace in that home. And that she heard voices that her husband is dying anytime soon. And yes, my wife can testify with me. They loved each other so much. So she said, I cannot endure life in this world even for a second without Joshua. Therefore, let me go before him. How do you know that he's going to die? You are just a human being. Yeah, after like a month, after the wife, Joshua died. In a terrible death. Please, continue in these things of God. Don't trust your intellect, your riches, and or other things. You've been coming to RBC for some time now. You are not yet convinced to forsake the pleasures of the world and continue in the grace of God. I mean, it's a question. Are you not all these years you've been coming here? You haven't been convinced to forsake the pleasures of the world and remain with God alone? Which words do you want us to use so that you stop mixing the grace of God with the pleasures of the world? Repent. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. These were not what people could call pagans. No. They were religious people, the leaders of a synagogue. But they were full of envy. Unfortunately, we are seeing the same thing with churches all over the world today. Unfortunately. Envy. Churches don't want to work together because of envy. You hate your brother, your sister because of envy. Churches are competing Obviously, some of the big churches that are competing these cities, those are not churches, they are dens of robbers, as the Bible says. But even in some biblical churches, you see some form of competition and jealousy and envy. So that envy that entered their hearts, because it is sin, it opened the door to another sin. The sin of contradicting or opposing the word of God. Don't joke with sin, friends. You might be despising it that it's a small sin, but one sin opens the door to another sin. God forbid that this can happen to any of us here. So now, these people despised the means of salvation. The only means of salvation is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's only Jesus Christ. They despised it. How are you despising the same means of salvation today? Although you come here every Sunday, but in one way or the other, you do despise. By listening to these words, but you don't care. When you leave this place, you go back to your normal life. As I end, let me again share with you some of the messages that we sing together here. How sweet the name of Jesus Christ sounds. Only in a believer's ear. This should be also another sign for you to check whether you are truly born again. The name of Jesus Christ is never sweet to you. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thoughts. But when I see you as you are, I'll praise you as you ought. I ought. That's one we sang it just today. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his realms of glory for the cross on Calvary. You think you want to sing them only in this room? Go and sing to your neighbors, to your colleagues. Why do you call yourself born again and yet you don't share the gospel? There's a call, comes ringing over restless waves. Send the light. RBC, send the light. Don't keep them here. Yeah, but when I was singing this alone. No, we need to send the light, friends. Yeah, I came across when I was looking for the things to do in our leaders training classes here. I came across once some pamphlets that were given at Pastor MacArthur's church. One seminar on short-term missions. Yeah, for a short time. They taught us how to do it very well. You can get, yes, a few people here. Send them to somewhere in Uganda here for a week and they come back. Why don't we do that? God did not open that door for me to go to Los Angeles in vain. Send the light. Last Sunday, we sang these hymns, powerful hymns. There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. because he loved me first. We sang last Sunday, softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. The Jesus Paul and Barnabas was spreading, the missionaries to the Gentiles, is calling for you and me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and me. Come home. Come home. This world is not your home. Although you love it like nothing, it's not your home. Come home. You who are weary, you are tired, come home. Why should you tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. We don't need to be following you in your private life. Live your life the way you want. Come and be an angel here and be a devil when you are alone. Come home. You are not yet home. Although people in this church think you are home already, but your heart knows it better. You are not yet home. Repent of your sins and come home. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing, my friend. Oh, Pastor Bill, they've been talking about that 2,000 years ago. He is coming soon. So you are waiting for him to appear in the skies? What if he visits you alone after this worship service? I gave my love to you. My precious blood I shed for you, so that you might be ransomed and raised up from the dead. I gave my life for you. What have you given to me? You might say, but I give offerings every Sunday. It does not need your offering. It does not need your wealth. It needs your heart. If you want to stop giving your money and give him your heart, that's what he needs. Reason why you have to scrap that basket from passing here during worship service. We don't come here for that. He will build this church. Let it be there. You want to offer? You'll do it freely if you want. He needs your heart. My father's house of light, my glory circle stone, I left for earthly night. He came down here for wandering, sad and alone. He was alone, was sad every time. I left it all for you. What have you left for me? You have failed to leave the boyfriend and girlfriend, yet you still have 7 years into marriage. You've failed to leave pornographic movies. You failed to leave TV programs. They still thrill you. Fake music. Even some you call gospel, but they're fake. You have failed to abandon them. We sang again. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today. Tenderly saying, come. Come. Think once again. He is with us today. He now is blessed command and obey. Here now his accent stand and tenderly say, will you, my children, come? I like these words in our text today. Let me end with them. In verse where they say those who were appointed for salvation. That is verse 48. Let me end with that. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Don't you tremble to see that you've been coming to RBC for all these years, but nothing is changing in you? That's a bad sign. That you might not be among those who are appointed for salvation. How can you be singing powerful hymns like this and hearing sermons like this and you don't tremble? Is tenderly calling you, come. Repent of your sins. Call your pastors and tell them, guide me on what to do against this sin. Unless what used to be sweet to you, the things of the world, turn bitter, you cannot tell me that you are a genuine born-again Christian, I believe. You see, we also love the world like you. You can come home, I can show you signs. Okay, I did not leave the world, I did not enjoy the world, but Christ saved me at age 16, I was still too young. Yeah, but I was enjoying the world within church. Amen. Father, I thank you for these words. Save your people, O Lord. Save us. Through your mercies and grace, save your people. In Jesus' name, amen.